with Torah Lishma. Torah Lishma. The institution of Torah Lishma. So, this idea is a unique idea in Klal Yisrael. Matter of fact, somebody was telling me last night that they were arguing with a professor who maintained that it's impossible. So he never heard of such a thing. To learn for the sake of learning, it's impossible. So the person can only learn if he has some ulterior motive. Either fame or some gain. But he says, I don't believe it's humanly possible. Show me that such a thing is possible. In today's society, learning power for the sake of learning is something which people who are in the higher echelons of our educational system, just don't believe that such a thing can exist. Of course, in Yadus, Torah Lishma you have to realize that the world in terms of education is, compared to Yadus, is, like I mentioned Friday, is really in the prehistoric phase. They don't even understand the basics of what, the fundamentals of what Torah has in mind when it speaks about education. A totally different concept, different system. It's different in terms of methodology, what it demands, the rigid system of thought that the Torah has in terms of abstract formulation. It's different in terms of what the objective is, that the objective of the Torah system in education is to affect the gavra, changing the gavra, and if it doesn't affect the gavra, it's really not education at all. And it's different in terms, I would say, three things. Those two things, plus the third feature would be the feature of this mission, Torah Lishma. The idea of learning for no ulterior motive. Torah Lishma, just learning for absolutely no ulterior motive. Okay, but we have to deal with the question, how is it possible to learn for no ulterior motive? And what exactly is meant by Torah Lishma? Interesting is that this Mishnah, this Perek, Perek Shishi, is not part of others. Not part of others. The Rashi says, Shonu Chachomim, that's why it says, Shonu Chachomim Bilshona Mishnah. It wasn't really a Mishnah, it was Brises. Chloma Brises. The Bilshona Mishnah Yishuya, Avalaina Mishnah. Okay, Uma Shonu Rabne Omer. Now, the question is, so what is it doing here? So it's not a Perek, it's not a Mishnah, so why is it in here? So Rashi explains, he says, Lefisha Arachshav Kola Prokim Mishnah. Mishnah, Leficha Chutzrach Lodiya Shemikam Ve'elach Breiseri. Okay, fine, Breiseri. But why do we add to the Masechta? Masechta is over after Perek Chamishim. So Rashi says a funny reason. He says, "Umitoch shehalolu divrei hagodahem, umesapros bi'esek Talmud Torah." Since these are words of Agadita, and it talks about the involvement in learning Torah, so therefore was accustomed to say these things in the Beis HaKnesses, and in Shul they would say these things together with the Masechta. Oh, what was this minute? What's the source of this minute? But more important, why one would think that really this should be the Perek par excellence? This should be the whole Torah Lishma. What does the first Mishnah say? Rabbi Meir says anyone that learns Torah Lishma is fortunate to have many good things before him. And we say that the whole world was created for him. He's considered a Reya and Ohol. Oyev Asamakom, he loves God, he loves the Brias. Masameach Asamakom, Masameach Asabrias. It leads to another Tzitkis, every wonderful trait. So the question is, if that's really what it is, so this is the whole build-up of all the prakim you should be for this. So how is it possible not to have this as part of the system of Pirkei Avos? This is really what Pirkei Avos, this is when you reach the whole essence of Pirkei Avos. You gain all these midas, all these wonderful traits. It says, Malbashto Anofa Yura, humility, fear of God, it makes him a tzaddik, it makes him a chassid, even more than a tzaddik, Yosha, he keeps him away from chayt. So this is what we're talking about. This is the whole end goal of the of perfection. So it's a strange thing that the end goal of perfection is omitted from the whole sequence of prakim. that should be, really, it should be the less better. So that's a difficult question. What's the answer? What's the answer? This is still part of it, yes? Well, I think the reason is very simple. The reason is because, you see, there are two different types of perfection, two ways for a person to gain perfection. What if a person to gain perfection, one method is to work in each area. A person has to work on each meter, and he has to use all the different means that are available to gain perfection. And perfection is an all-encompassing thing, involves all the emotions of a person, so many different situations in life, that he has to go back to various parts of his nature and make corrections in those parts of his nature in order to perfect himself. It's a lifetime process. Okay? But that's really what Pirkei Avos is, up to this point. Pirkei Avos is how you work on individual aspects of the personality. But the learning Lishma is something a person can work. Something you can't do. In other words, the Pirkei Avos, the prakim that we have in the Masechet Avos, are really prakim that teach a person, guide a person not to perfect himself. Perek Shishi doesn't belong here for a simple reason. It's impossible for a person to do it. Willfully. Can't do it willfully. A person cannot will himself to learn Torah. It's an impossible thing. Why? Because, like I mentioned last week, that when we went through the Ibn Ezra, how a person perfects himself. So there's three parts of his nature. There's the Nefesh HaBahami, the instinctual part, and then there's the part of man, which is the controlling part. So the controlling part can take a person away from the Nefesh HaBahami. But as long as he still is involved in controlling himself, he still isn't involved in the highest part. The only thing is that the controlling part of man's nature, the ruling part of man's nature, can subdue the instinctual part, but once it does, then a certain process has to take place. What's the process? That's where the seichel, the intelligence of man, has to start taking up. And the seichel has to grow. But the seichel part is not the ruling part. The way the Ibn Ezra has it precisely in his Pirush on Kehelis. The seichel part is not the ruling part. The seichel part means that once man starts seeing Chokhmas Hashem, that's something which is a natural process. So the only thing a person can do is set the stage for this natural process to take place. But he cannot, by definition, logically, he can't enforce that process. Because all enforcing comes from one part of the nature. There's a part of man that is the controlling part, the ruling part. Where a person takes hold of himself and he says, I am going to look into this part of my life, I'm going to control myself, that's the controlling part. You can't do that when it comes to Torah Lishma. And Avos, really, the whole purpose of Avos is simply to guide a person to control himself, to place under his control certain midos and certain perfections. But Torah Lishma, you can do that. You cannot do it. What does the Rambam say? The Rambam says So, any control in this area, any time if a person wants to control himself, so then it's not Lashmoni. It's not Lashmoni. It's not something that a person can willfully accomplish. It's an amazing thing. It's the highest level in man, and yet Yahadu says, it cannot be accomplished as an act of the will. Cannot do it. That's what Aram says. The Ram says, The Sof, he does the truth because it is the truth. The Sof, atova love of glow. And the good will eventually come because of that. He says, "Umayla zu," and this level, "Umayla gedolam arv," very high level. The ein kol chacham zavah. Not every chacham is fortunate enough to gain that level of existence. So you see, And Chacham, the Ram says Chacham, so the Ram is talking about a person who's a very good person. So it says, Vein Kol Chacham Zochala. What do you mean Chacham Zochala? It means that something a person has to be Zochala. There are certain things that a person can accomplish by an act of the will. But there are certain things that a person can't accomplish by the will. But simply, it has to happen. He has to be Zochala. That's why the Ram means Zochala. And that's what the Chazal say. A lot of times, Zochar. Whenever Chazal says Zochar, it means that it's something which you can't, which you can't control. Zochar lasa lo samchayim. The person is Zochar, so Torah becomes like a source of life. That really is referring to the Shema. Lo Zochar nasa lo samchayim means it's the farthest side of Lo Shema, the opposite side. But whenever Chazal says Zochar, Zochar means, Ein kochachem Zochar means, you can't do anything about it. So really, it's in a way, it's a very sad kind of affair. That's why they left it out of the others. But that's why it doesn't belong to the others. So what is it doing there in fact? What was the minute? You see, the minute Yisrael was that even though it's not rightfully part of the others, but since this is the epitome of what others is about, so there were the minig was to say it. He says, "Umesapros divrei hagodahin umesapros beisik talmud Torah, no gula omrim beveisa knesses." In short, prakam lovish mesachravos. It means that we have a certain method. We have a different method. Method is when we run out of the power to control, when we run out of the ability to accomplish something, to do something, there still is one thing that's left. And that is just the study of the ideas of perfection itself. And the study of the ideas of perfection can somehow draw the soul of the person towards the real perfection. So it was a minute after they got finished with 50 of us, the teaching a person how to perfect himself willfully by an act of the will. So then what do? So you could say you can't do anything more. But the minig Yisrael was not. No, you can't do anything more. You could still think about the ideas of perfection. And the hope is that by thinking about what perfection is, that the person will somehow be drawn to it. It will be zochet. Definitely. Yes. Torah Shema is a unique institution that we in Yadis have. It's a major point in our system, and yet we admit that this major point in our system, we can't do too much about. The only thing we could do is we could bring a person into a situation that he could be moved by it, but he has to be moved by himself. It's an amazing phenomenon, it's an amazing concept in Yadis. But it's a concept again, it's a concept. Yeah, you can't be against Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu gave Moshe. Some Zim gave Moshe. You can't be against Moshe. Was the beginning of Mishle. It says Radas Chachma Musa. So you have to know. So you can't know it's against Musa. The Musa movement was a specific. It got the title of Musa. The Musa movement in Europe was an intellectual movement of a specific sort, and there were those that were against the Shitas HaMusa. The Shitas HaMusa means a specific Shita. And I mentioned this a number of times, what the argument was. See, in Shita Samusa, the idea was that a person could control himself, through the study of certain Maimori Chazal. Like, for instance, you don't want to speak Lashon Hara, so what you do is, and study about how horrible Lashon Hara is. Okay? And the Shita Samusa, really, the psychological Shita Samusa, was an intellectual Musa. Intellectual Shita. It wasn't this crazy Musa. Intellectual Musa. But the Rav one time mentioned that there is a Hasidus in between Musa. Basically, two Shitas in the last few centuries is that Hasidus started from the Amei Ha'am. It started from the ignorant people. And Musa started from the intellectuals. And the head of the Shita Samusa was Rabbi Sosalanta. Sosalanta studied psychology. Sosalanta, as a matter of fact, was very much into worldly knowledge. And I know that Rabbi Chaim had seen another lover to the time of was a Rebbe of mine. He was at a convention where Sosalanta gave Musa to the Rabbanim, it was a private, very private meeting, and he gave them Musa because he says, you don't study Nafsat Allah. You don't know Nafsat Allah. But his Shitas HaMusa was, that he noticed that a person could be a good Talmid Chacham, good scholar, and yet his Midos are terrible. Okay, and so Rosh Hashanah to say it's easier to learn from Shas than to change one Mido. Okay? And the, no doubt it's true. But he had a sensitivity for human emotion. The Shitas HaMusa, the question was, how are you going to change a person? And the Shitas HaMusa's answer was that there is such a thing as the subconscious mind. I'm not using the term subconscious. The subconscious mind. And if you could somehow get into that subconscious mind, you'd be able to reach deeper into the personality and you'd be able to change the personality. That's why the main thing of Baron Cutler's outside, Rasul Salant invented Musa Bespilus. Musa Bespilus means that they say you learn Musa with a niggin. Spilus is a spilus means with a niggin, you know. Now what's the purpose of the niggin? The purpose of the niggin is to get, it's like to reach the language of the emotion, and to dig deep into the emotional sphere, so that these things become a part of you. That was the Shitas HaMusa. The ones that were against the Shitas HaMusa, they held that this is a new idea, new psychological insight, and they didn't agree with that. They didn't agree with it. They held that you cannot change the person through reaching the unconscious emotion. You can't do that. The only thing you could do is by gaining knowledge of what perfection is, and through the knowledge to draw the person to that good. So the difference would be, for instance, if you want to give you an example. The difference would be if a person is involved, he's nichshol, he stumbles in the area of lashon hara. So what should he do? Should he take out a sefer shmiras lashon and learn it emotionally so that he realizes how terrible a thing it is, and what lashon hara and the onshim is, the punishments he's going to get, and how serious it is. Then they branched off from someone into more into the punishment area, someone into the schar area, different various areas, just branching off. But that was the approach. Whereas the others that disagreed, they held that that's not the way to perfect yourself. The way to perfect yourself is to understand in reality what Lashon Hara, why it's Lashon Hara is bad. And once a person sees how he's harming his soul through it, through Chachma, he will be drawn away from Lashon Hara and be drawn towards Lashon Tov. Yeah, I don't know about that. That's the thing. So now let's get back to Lishma. So what is Lishma? We have to understand, what does it mean? What does it mean in the word? Apparently there's some benefit in understanding what Lishma is. That's why we have this last verse. Not part of the five of the Brachim, but so what is Lishma? What does it mean if I'm learning Lishma? Learning for no reason whatsoever. What is it? This is the Rambam's grandson. He has a Pirush on others. So, all right. Medrash Gavra Pippi Avos. Somebody gave it. So by Rabbeinu Dovra Nodi, Mecher Rama. Okay. So he says like this. He says, his boninata shemeya bestakwas amuka begogul maila samasasek the Torah. That means you should think into the greatness of learning Torah, la avas habore yisbarach. Love of God, not because of any kind of material gain, the osher, or because of wealth, velolu revach isnasus bein bnei adam, and not because he wants to raise his esteem among other people, that people should respect it. The Moshe Kosev Reb Meir, kol omar b'tera l'shmo, zecho l'zol mavet. And he wants to learn stuff l'shmo, he gains a lot of time. So he says, ratzaloma, Sheha'osek b'Torah, he says, he who learns Torah, levilti she'ifa oma Torah, without any goal. That's his definition of Torah. Without any goal. Kol ma'ashin nimtzel, okay, then he goes, that's basically what he says. Okay? He says, yeah. So, he learns Torah without any goal. Okay. So, alright, so, Rabbi Rosenthal mentioned, so it's a matter of, let us say that in man there's a natural curiosity for learning. a natural intellectual curiosity. So now my question is this. Is that the definition of Feldish Mo? A person simply has a natural curiosity. Is that a definition of Feldish Mo? The point, it's a curiosity. Because you say it's a curiosity. There's no end goal. There's no purpose. Why am I learning today? I'm learning because I'm interested in this idea. I'm interested in this idea. I want to understand. I'm curious. Something bothered me about how it works out. I have a big problem, and I'm just curious. My mind just, I'll spend a few hours trying to understand it. So that's a natural curiosity. Is that Feldish Mo? That's my question. Because he added one thing before. He said, the Godel Milas HaMasantik B'Torah La'avas HaBoreas Baruch is because of the love of God. And then he says, in the second definition, he says, She'osek B'Torah La'vilti She'if HaMatar, without any objective. So it's two things. There's no objective, and it's because of the love of God. It sounds like love of God, sounds like an objective. Right? Well, what does it mean? Yep, the Rambam says this is a Rambam says Oved me'ava osik b'torah mitzvah sov mitzvah sov lomet me'dova bola, not because of any gain and not because of any fear, and not in order v'lo kidei lira shatova, and not in order to inherit the good. Elahos emes b'nei shu emes, he does the truth because it's the truth. He says when myla zui myla gedol ad mod, he says v'hi mylas avram avinu. And that's the level of Avraham Avinu. Shekara HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ohavo. God called him the one who loves him. Lefishelo Ovad El Me'ava. So Lishmo and Me'ava are the same thing. It's an interesting thing. Lishmo and Me'ava are identical. So what does it mean? And that's what it says. That's the meaning of Ahavta Eisad Hashem Elokecha. Okay. What does it mean? It means to say like this. Yeah, curiosity is part of it. There's no doubt about it. Yeah. But a person can be curious about a puzzle also. A person can be curious about a puzzle. But that has nothing to do with a with Shema. Let's say people enjoy mathematical puzzles. So there are people like that. So they're very curious about how what the solutions to mathematical puzzles are. That has nothing to do with Shema. Why? Because it means to say like this. It means it's curiosity, yes. It's a natural phenomenon in a person. But the natural phenomena is that he's drawn, his curiosity concerns reality. That's his curiosity. And the curiosity, since it concerns reality, has to focus on, it has to zero in on the source of all reality. And that is a better thought. So, Torah Lishma, that's what it means, Avas Hashem. See, Avas Hashem means it can't be a frivolous kind of a thing where a person just interested in these curious about a puzzle. There's nothing whatsoever to do with Lishma. That's puzzle Lishma. Mathematics Lishma. But it's not Torah. Torah has to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It means to say that he's curious about the sugya. But his curiosity about the sugya is not simply because of the fact that he doesn't understand the sugya. It's a puzzle to him. I'm not saying that's a bad level. I mean, I'm not trying to put anybody down here. But you have to understand, the whole idea of the mission is to understand what the highest level is. But the highest level is very simple. The highest level is like this. The highest level is, he's curious about the sugya because he's curious about God's Torah. Because the source of the Torah is God, and God is the source of emes. That's what Ram says. It's only because it's emes. He's the source of emes, and his love of emes causes him to be curious about how the Borei Olam set up his system, set up his Torah. How did God set up the system of Karbanos? How did God set up the halachos of Torah? That's why, if you'll notice, the Rambam is very interesting. The Rambam in the Pirshim Mishnayos always says, Amar HaBorei. Amar HaBorei. It's a funny kind of a lesson. You don't find it in the world. Amar HaBorei is Baruch, that you have to do this and this mitzvah. And what is that mitzvah? And he goes to explain the mitzvah. So the curiosity about Torah is a curiosity about HaKadosh Baruch. That's why it's considered Oved Me'aba. So that's the definition of this mitzvah. Yeah, that's correct. It doesn't matter. He wants to know the sugya because he's interested in knowing how HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the sugya. How did HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the halachas of Kabbalas? What is the sugya of Higel? Higel is an idea, and the whole sugya is Vachan. God set up this concept, this system. He's curious about the system. That's what it means. So ultimately, that's why it's Nikra Ohava. It means he loves God, because he's drawn towards God. Like the Rambam says, what is love of God? It means he's drawn towards the Creator. Drawn towards the Creator, you have to be interested in what the Creator did and what you can understand from the Creator's actions. So you're drawn towards the Creator in terms of his universe, and you're drawn towards the Creator in terms of his system of power. That's what Ohava means. That's Torah Shema. Yes. See, the Torah says, the Navi says, the Navi says the opposite. The Navi says, Halavai osi osvu mekor mayim chayim, Halavai osi osvu les tarasi shamara. What does it mean? It means to say that even though, because there are different levels, but what the Navi is saying is, okay, you can't be told this much. So forget about it, you can't do that. But at least live the system of Torah, which is a beneficial system, at least live that way. And then the Pasuk says, and that will bring you back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That will, the benefit of that is that the system itself, the person looked at the gains of the system itself, he says, this has to be the best life, even if I want to be selfish, I'm not interested in Torah Lashma. But for my own selfishness, I want to have a good life. So this is the perfect system. So if you did it for that, it would be Torah Shemaro, then the Pasuk says, then you would come back to God. Because the system is geared to throw you back. The system is constructed in a way that when you live the system, it pushes you. And it pushes you towards the central idea where the person, when he reaches that area, something draws him. That's Torah Lashma. That's the idea of that's what the rest of it is. The difference when you say what you're calling I would hardly call that a smart. What's on the platform is the question of intellectual voyeurism. See, the voyeur is a person whose center is the self. And he's interested in information to bring back to the self. That's what a voyeur is. In Torah Lashma, the center is not the self. He's drawn towards something which is outside the self and which is the source of all reality. That's the difference. That's the difference. Okay? That's why the Pasuk says, Hashem Yishamayim Yehishkif, the Pasuk in Tony Dalad, Liras and Neodam, Liras Hayesh, Maskil Doresh, 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 why is it Doresh? What does it mean, Doresh? He's searching for God? What does it mean, he's searching for God? He doesn't know whether he's agnostic? No, it doesn't mean anything. It means this process is a searching. An endless searching. That's a process. The process is Doresh. One process. See, the moment you try to do it, you can't try to do this, because the moment you try to do this, you have an ulterior motive to satisfy some kind of pangs of conscience or whatever it is in your personality. And then already, then that's not it anymore. Right? That's the concept. Mitoch shelo lishmo, bo lishmo. But if a person involves himself in learning, so then he's drawn. That's Ein Hachanami. That's what it means, mitoch shelo lishmo, bo lishmo. It means, on the contrary, it means he can't. Lo'olam yilmad adam. By the source, not as well. Lo'olam yilmad adam. Torah, Philos Lovis Mars. And the Torah Slovis Mars, and you say you cannot possibly coerce yourself to do this, because once you coerce yourself, now you're working, now you're interested in a certain self-evaluation, a certain kind of a satisfaction that you're going to gain out of thinking, I am such a person. I've reached such a level. The moment you do that, then that's it. It's not much more about it. Interested in yourself. But of course, and I keep on re-emphasizing, a person should not get depressed from learning this kind of an area, because we believe, we maintain, that's the whole philosophy of the placing this parrot over here, is that even though a person is not on that level, but you gain immensely from perceiving the level, Perception of the level is what is important. Even though, forget it, you can't force yourself to do it, it's impossible, but to perceive it is important. However, by perception, the perception and the knowledge gains access to the soul of man, to the telemarketing. That's the only way that a person could approach it, yes. Person must see that again, that type of thinking is a part of this society. This society is either you're gonna have the ultimate or else it's worthless. A person doesn't realize how fortunate he is in all those levels that are in between until he reached Tavas Maha, how fortunate he is. We're not taking away from that. But we're saying, in spite of a person's egoistic motivations, he has to be able to break his ego and to be able to perceive what the ultimate level is, even though if it's not in line with him. In our society, everything is, the whole philosophy is self-satisfaction. A person wants to be happy with himself. But if you show him something he'll never be able to accomplish, that's just going to make him depressed. So that's not good, because we want to be happy with it. A person wants to feel, he wants to feel proud of himself. He wants to feel egoistic satisfaction. If the goal of this society is egoistic satisfaction. The goal of Yadis is perception of reality. The different goal of life. So in Torah Lishma, there could be a lot of pain involved also. But what do Chazal say? Chazal say in Kedushin, why do they call Chachmei Yisrael Sofrim? Because they counted every letter in the Torah. There's a question that came up in the Gemara, so they took out a Sefer Torah, and they counted from Bereishis until the entire, to find out where the middle of the Sefer Torah is. So you want Kedushin. What does that show you? Counting Osios is not the greatest enjoyment. But it means the love of the truth of God's Torah demands sometimes that a person goes through painful type of experiences, but he does it because of his love of the ultimate truth. So counting Osios is not enjoyable. It's not intellectually enjoyable. That's the difference between the person that is intellectually curious, you see, who is an intellectual pleasure seeker, you see, an Epicurean, and between a person that's learned Torah Lishma. The Epicurean will not count those yet. Torah Lishma will, because he's interested in it. Yes. That's a mistake. You know, a person can, if it's true that a person is not interested in perfection, can master any area, and the area will have no effect on him whatsoever. That's correct. It's a true of human nature. But the whole Torah teaches us that that is not the purpose and that's not the way to learn. That the purpose of learning is, on the contrary, to gain perfection. And the halachic system is a means to gain perfection. So a person who has the false goal, you can't ask the Torah, why is the Torah set up in a way that a person learns the Shas and not changes needs? Not set up that way. It's set up that way if you want to use it that way. The Torah of Yiddish Shas is set up as a medium of reaching perfection. But if you look at Shas as an end goal for personal gain, so then of course you can do it. But the purpose of Torah really is perfection. But Shas is necessary. Shas is not necessary. I mean, it's a part of the substance of perfection. It's a part of the substance of, more than necessary, it's part of the substance of perfection. But the only thing is a person can thwart the goal and simply cut it off and just use this for his own motivations, on his own motives. But that's not a fault of the system, it's a fault of the person. I mean, if a person just has to take a look at the Tashvach Sa, I mean, start off with the Avos, with the perfection of the Avos. Sure, there's a Sefer Vayikra, which has to do with Halacha, I mean, Yishmael, there's many Halachas in the Torah. But the Divrei Musar of Moshe Rabbeinu and Sefer Dvarim, and throughout the whole Torah, you see the goal is perfection. And there's different Yimudim. There's Sefer Iyuv, there's Sefer Pehelas, there's a Sefer Mishlei, there's Sefer Tilim. I mean, all the Nevi'im. I mean, what is all that? I mean, if perfection isn't the purpose of the Torah, all these Torah would not be there. But the reason why a person can learn from Shas and not change a Midah is because his goal is distorted. Now, the Torah cannot protect against the person distorting the goal and the objective of Torah. And it's obvious and clear, if anyone that reads Torah, just the entire Shabbat, the Tanakh, becomes clear that perfection is the ultimate purpose. Okay? That's it. I mean, you can't change a person who's bent on distortion. You can't do anything to the person. And that's the Rambam way to say. The Rambam says, no matter how clear, even HaKadosh Baruch Hu could not make a person say things in a clear way that people can't distort. And he brought a raya from the Christians. Shema Yisrael, what Hashem, what Kena, Hashem Echad. Nothing can be stated more clearly, and they said right away straight. You put it very well. The nature of a person is to be Golan. And we have to work with that. But what Yad just perceives is a person who is in a different area where he's beyond goals. So he is abandoning that whole thing of being near goals. He's in a higher level. And there's one thing I will say, which I think is important, concerning the problem of the personal problem, that we're learning about something that's too high. But first of all, that's not true, as I said. But secondly, and this I mentioned a number of times, that in the Shema, insofar as a total person, like an Avraham Avinu, is out of reach, that's correct. But every person can partake of the Shema at times. There is a Lashma in every person, too. So there are moments of Lashma. That's what the Rambam says in the beginning of his introduction to the Manavah, where he says that life is like darkness, like a night. But he says in the night there are flashes of lightning. He says the flashes of lightning in our lives are usually the few and far between. You know? But when a person gets that flash, it means that he's tuned into reality. He sees. Suddenly the lightning strikes and he sees it, and he sees reality. He says the greater person has more flashes of lightning. And then he says, for the real tzaddikim, like the Avos, he says the night was like one consecutive flash of lightning. So that's the ultimate. But every person on his level can experience this more. Okay, he's Lavka Chacham Zochabah means he can't be Zochah like Avraham Avinu, but doesn't mean he can't be Zochah to sensing what Lishma is, to a realization of the experience of being goalless. You see, it's exactly the opposite of this society maintains that the only way to achieve happiness is by gaining new goals, and Yad just maintains the only way a person will be happy is when you have no goals. No goals at all. He just is involved totally in doing something for its own sake, and he's not concerned about himself at all. That is the only way for a person to be happy. You can't have that exactly. You can't. That's why it's not in the Pekeros, because it can't be a goal. A person can evaluate himself. A person can evaluate himself, but you have to realize a person can evaluate himself, but the motivation for the evaluation is that's not part of Lishma. Then he's going back to the other part of his nature. He's going back to the altar. He's slipping back. A human being operates on different levels. That's important to remember that. That's the whole idea of mezuzah. See the mezuzah in the morning, and you come back at night, and you have to look at the mezuzah. Right? Next morning, you go again. Because you get lost during the day, but you don't strive for perfection. You strive for a life in which a person has a life in which he has moments where he partakes of true enjoyment of truth, that is an unbelievable thing. That's a very high level. Most of the world doesn't see it at all. For most of the world, the Rambam's marshal doesn't hold. It's a black night without any lightning at all. I mean, it's a complete, totally empty existence. But if a person is zocha to gain some insight in his lifetime, you have to value those moments of insight, those moments where the person partakes of that of Lishma. That's a great thing, yes. And there's another dangerous thing about learning this in a Mishnah. The dangerous thing about learning this Mishnah is that people are going to say, well, look, I mean, you know, you're going to abandon the system of controls. That would be very foolish. On the contrary, as I spoke about Friday, that in yeshiva, a person must be goal-oriented. And they have to, if they're not going to be goal-oriented, they're not going to be motivated, unless a person is a tzaddik, natural tzaddik, okay, but I mean, the average person has to, you have to really work, a person has to put in all his effort and motivation. And he must use that part of the person, like the Ibn Ezra says. That's the whole way for a person to save his life. Is basically by using the ruling factor of the soul. It means a person makes up goals, he has to learn a certain amount of time, and he has to cover a certain amount of block, or he has to work on certain ideas, whatever the area he has to work on. He has to map out for himself the goal, and he has to work on it. The Torah Shema is something which a person, after he has reached a level where he is mastered chachma, then suddenly a person reaches a certain level where he has a certain kind of a knowledge, that suddenly the knowledge takes over. It takes over. But you cannot expect such a thing the Trilas Ha'iyah. I mean, in the beginning of a person's, you know, a person's first starting, he's not even a London. I mean, he doesn't even have a grasp on Shas. I mean, it's absurd to even talk about it. You take a look at one of the things that it mentions over. It mentions that it says, in Beis, you know, Senes lo malchus umam shalom v'chikr din, and then it says, megalim lo roze Torah. Alright? It means to say that he understands the hidden ideas of Torah, ideas that most people don't even come by in their lifetimes. Yeah, obviously this person has to be a very highly developed intellectually. He must be very highly developed. The person's not going to even be in the sphere of having the potential for Torah Lashma unless he's mastered Chachma to a great degree. So when a person is in yeshiva years, a person has to concentrate on mastering Chachma. That's what he has to do. Now then, if the years go by and he masters, he ages in Chachma. What is it? It says, he ages in Chachma. The Siv u Baleba. Siv, he becomes aged in Chachma. Then there's a time that the Chachma starts taking over and starts drawing the personality. But that is a further and far more advanced stage. And a person in his young years in yeshiva, nice that we're learning about this, but he should know that it really doesn't have practical, from a practical standpoint, so it's not Pekyavis. First, it's not Pekyavis. But it's good to know it. But Pekyavis is what the person has to work on in his young years. And hopefully he will amass enough chachma that he'll be thrown into a different gear. I'll be thrown into a different gear. But that's a process that has to take place. The process of Lakochacham Zochaba. But as I said, Lakochacham Zochaba, but nevertheless, that's on a full scale level. The Rambam, it's important to recognize that. The Rambam, Mishnah Rambam, is in his introduction to the Marnival. That's what he says. It's the flashes of lightning throughout the night. Turns out that's there. Different levels. But there is a qualitative difference. The only thing I will say is this. So you're telling me, so Torah Lashma is really, it's just a matter of everybody has Torah Lashma, so it's a matter of a little more, a little less. No, there is a qualitative experience. There's a qualitative experience. The Rambam says, Noah's once the quantity leads to a certain quality. That's really what this mission is. It creates a certain gap. It creates a certain gap. That's why the Rambam says that the less Rambam in Tshuva, Dovo Yadua Uboro. It's not tied to the heart of man until he's constantly involved in it. So it requires the quality, the state of mind that we're discussing in this Mishnah, is a certain state of mind that results from a certain quantity of involvement of the Shema. A certain amount, you need a certain minimal amount of lightning flashes. The qualitative change requires a certain amount of lightning flash. That's what he says. He says, "Ashish guba kamet kuroi v'yazel kol mashabam chusunam." That's it. So the mission is really discussing changing the gavra, but the process of lishma, everyone is capable of fulfilling on a certain level. Yeah? That's good. That in the beginning he says you shouldn't serve God out of fear, and then he says you should serve God out of avodah, and he says lafkol chacham zohavah. That's possible. So the answer is, insofar as reaching the qualitative state, that is only Avraham Avinu and a few individuals. But insofar as a person working consciously for the correct reasons, that's possible, and a person can attain the experience of the Shema also. But it's not the same gavra, but the process a person can partake of. It's important to partake of the process. A person partakes of the process itself is asher alav. I mean, you have to recognize it. But, I'd like to take up one more thing. It says, Shono chachom b'shono mishnah, boruch shabokha b'hemel b'vishnasa. Funny kind of introduction. Baruch Shebocha Bohem Ubimishas. Means that God chose them, these Chachamim, and he chose their learning. And he chose their learning. Okay. So what does it mean? It means, what is the purpose really of saying that? What's the purpose of making that statement? Do we really believe that we could know, that a person is for instance, a Tzaddik? Do you believe we can know a person? Well, let me ask you a simple question. Do you know that a person is a Navi, let's say? Do you know that a person is a Navi? So you know very well, the Rambam says you can't know. He says you can know that he says like this. Right. Okay. Nimtza surrounds like this. I think it's an important point in the Sogei Hadas. The Rambam says like this. The Rambam says that the truth of the matter is that the only thing our emunah is based on one thing. Torah Messina. That's it. Sinai. Everything is based on Sinai. Everything goes back to Sinai. Now what about a Navi? When a Navi arises and tells you that he's a Navi, so the Rambam says, it comes out that every Navi that arises after Moshe Rabbeinu, he says, we don't believe in him because of a sign alone. In other words, we should say that since he did a sign, we know that what he's saying is correct. He says, we don't know. Element may a mitzvah shetziva Moshe b'Torah v'Oma in Nosan Os Eilof Tishma. K'moshe tzivon olach t'chadav apishnei meira. It's just like in a court case that you listen to two witnesses. You know that two witnesses are saying the truth? You don't know. Why do you listen to them? Yeah, that's it. There are certain rules in court. You have to have a system. The system is, you believe two witnesses. If their testimonies corroborate each other, so then you believe it. Same thing he says in another. ואף על פי שאיננו יודעים אם אילו אמס הוא שקר. כך מצווה לשמוע מזה נביא. אף על פי שאיננו יודעים אם הוא אמס או בקשר לבא. So we don't know. All right. So now I'll ask you a question. So it comes out the only thing we know crazy question. I'm asking a simple question. My question is like this. You know, we only believe in Torah because of the event at Sinai. Only that event, the event of the magnitude of Sinai, which we saw and which was given down to us, and we know that this occurrence took place. That's what we base all our Torah on. But anything short of that, for instance, a Navi comes afterwards, and the Navi gives a sign, so do we know that the Navi is really a truthful Navi? No, because you see, the Rambam says he tells him to do something wrong, so we don't listen to him. If you knew he was right, how could you not listen to him? So the answer is, it's a prescription. In other words, we don't believe anything except Torah's Moshe. Now, when the Navi comes along, Torah's Moshe says, listen to him, provided he says certain things. I mean, there's a formula there. If he follows the formula, we listen to him. If not, we kill him. And that's it. Okay? He's just chayav nizik. So it comes out we don't know the Navi. And now I'll ask you a question. If that's the case, so if the Torah's Moshe, I don't know if he's ever going to do anything. Is he just going to follow him? How do you know Yishayon Navi was Navi? How do you know that... Okay, Yeshua Benun will say, Yeshua Benun, because Yeshua Benun was a point of the Moshe Rabbeinu and Torah. Oh, okay. But after that, how do you know? So how do we know? What? So you follow. So what is it? My question is a very simple question. Yeshayahu HaNavi, do we know that this man was really a tzaddik and a Navi, or we don't know. I mean, I understand Hishayon never came here today and said to us, look, I got a tzibur from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that what you should do is, you should not put on tefillin tomorrow. Okay, so he wasn't on. That's it. If he tells us that you shouldn't put on tefillin anymore, then we never go. That's all we have a system. Alright? That's why there's a formula. The formula is you cannot change. So I say it doesn't matter as long as it's a question of following him. I understand. The question is academic, it doesn't matter, it's material. Alright? But now my question is, let's say for instance you should divrei neviim. Do you know that Yeshayahu Novi was really excited and truthful Novi and HaKadosh Baruch Hu spoke to him or not? That's important. So you know that. But how do you know that it wasn't given a tzina? How do you know it? So you tell me I don't know it. So I say, you tell me I don't have to know it. That's very good, you don't have to know it if you have to follow Yeshayahu Novi. So I say, I don't care. But I want to know, do you believe that Yeshayahu Navi was a true Navi or not? So, you do believe it was a true Navi, right? Yeah, but how could you know this? We say the only thing you know is whatever you see on Maamar HaSinai. That's my question. Maybe I shouldn't answer this question. I think it's an important question. How do you know? Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we really don't know that Yeshayahu Navi was really there. I don't know. Maybe we really don't know. What do you say? How do you prove to me that you do? Who prove to me that you do know? What is that? She called him in the ass, right? That's right. But you say it in the bracha. Abocha batur baruch tov noshe avdol uvin vin v'yams. And what is it? And what is the bracha after another? What's bracha after another? The name on him tovarech. The dovach mevachach olish regam. So why you say this? You say the name of Varecha. Why are you saying it after the Navi? Who's it? What are you referring to? The name of Varecha. The Divrei Navi. That's what this whole bracha is about. So how do we? True. No. That thing you don't need any emuna. They don't need any emuna. The Dov Varecha. When you, what does the Navi say? The Navi talks about give you certain information about Tzchav Onesh, that this is going to take place. That's going to take place. How do I know that it's true? So that's the question. You can't say the Divrei Neviim are not emes. My question is, how do you know? Do we know Yeshayahu Navi was really in truth a Navi? And that HaKadosh Baruch Hu revealed himself to Yeshayahu Navi? The Korazel Zevi Yama, Kadosh. Is that so? Or we don't know it? We don't know this. The answer is that there are two kinds of knowledge. There's a knowledge through Simonim, and there's a first-hand knowledge through Chachma. Okay? There's a knowledge through Simonim, and there's a knowledge through Chachma. Two kinds of knowledge. Simonim is science. So it means like this. What the Rambam is saying about Nehilchos Sesoria Torah, he's talking about a knowledge through Simonim. And it's through science. Through Simonim, he says, there's only one thing that we accept. And what is that? Let's see. And you don't accept any oaths from any other. No matter how unbelievable it is, how unexplainable it is, it doesn't mean much. But there's another kind of knowledge. There's a knowledge not through signs, but through yediyah, through chokhmah. That means to say, in other words, when we say, for instance, we say that you cannot know another person. Okay? We say that Shmuel HaNavi, the most brilliant man, couldn't detect who was the one that was going to be Mashiach Hashem. Alright? Because Adam Yerulein Ayin, but Hashem Yerulaleva. Right? Okay. So you can never tell. Does that mean to say that you could never know another person? Does that mean to say Abaya didn't know whether the lover was not Paris? Does that mean to say you don't know whether the Akiva or whether the Akiva was a Tzaddik or not? Ridiculous, absurd. It means through simonim you can't know. Through simonim you can't know. Through chokhmah a person can know. What kind of chokhmah is the only kind of chokhmah that a person can use that is trustworthy? That's Chochmas HaTorah. That's Chochmas HaTorah. Through Chochmas HaTorah, a person can know. We know that Rabbi Akiva was a Tzaddik. We know the Asarul Gemalchus was a Tzaddik. We know that the Tanoim and the Moroim was a Tzaddik. It's not through Os, it's through Chochmas. If you didn't have a system of Chochmas, then everything is worthless. All the Simanim of the world, all the Simanim, the whole Simanim, the Simanim of Matan Torah, for what purpose? It's in order to give Klal Yisrael a system of Chochmas. With Chochmah we know firsthand. Chochmah is a different kind of knowledge. Boruch Hashem Bochar Bohem Udum Mishnas. That's what it means. That's why if a person says, Ram says a person should talk against Rava. The Rava always mentions the person. He's Makrish Magideho. That means to say he speaks against the Chazal. So he's an Apikeris. Why? Because he's denying that Chochmah that was given to Klal Yisrael. He's denying it. He's saying that I don't know that Rava was a Tzaddik. I don't know that the Chazal were truly Chachmei Yisrael and great Tzaddikim. This we know not through Simona. This we know through Limud. Baruch Hashem Bocha Bohenu Mishnosa means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us a system of Chochmah. When the Yeshayahu Navi was if Yeshayahu Navi just came along and gave an oath, that's one thing. But Yeshayahu HaNavi was one of the Balei HaMasorah. And as a Balei HaMasorah, with other Chachmei Yisrael, it wasn't a question of whether he was a Navi or not. It wasn't a question of whether he's telling the truth or telling a lie. They knew Yeshayahu HaNavi. They knew the Divrei Nevi'im. They understood Divrei Nevi'im, and they recognized and they knew that this is a Divrei Navi. They knew it from Chachmah. What the Rambam is talking about is Yediyah from Os and Simen. Yediyah from Os and Simen is only one thing that we accept, and that's Maamar HaSinai. That's what the Mishnah says. Correct. We know from the Masorah. So if a person knows how to learn Torah, and he knows he understands Chazal, and he understands what the Gdol Yisrael are, and what the Rishonim are, and what the Gainim and what the Amoraim and Tanoim are, he doesn't need any oaths. There's no oaths over there. He knows what it is because he studies their works. He understands the perfection. He sees the Chochmah. That's an amun that's not based on oaths. That's how we know. That's why Chazal say, who determined what's going to be part of the Kisrei Kodesh? Chazal determined what's going to be part of the Kisrei Kodesh. That's why it says Kehelos. They don't want to question. Different Kisrei Kodesh question. Because Chazal are the ones. How do they determine different considerations, what belongs in Kisrei Kodesh? But they are the ones through their Chochmah that set up the Kisrei Kodesh. But when they set up Kisrei Kodesh, as Kisrei Kodesh, you didn't need Maamar HaSinai. That was from the system of the Masorah. That was from Baruch Hashem Bochar Bohem Ubimishnasa. Hashem Bochar Benevim Tobin. The Ruts of the Divreim HaNe'morim Be'emes. That's the Pshat and Brach. Okay? In order for a Navi to tell us to do something, to tell us to do something, there is a formal system that must be, a formal halachic structure that must be followed. But that doesn't mean that you can't know that the Navi is a Navi Emes, that the Balei HaMasorah can't know that Yeshayahu HaNavi is a Navi Emes. That's what it means. If you're going to say that, you need to deny Chacham. Okay? See, Christians can never understand why the Jews, they thought that the Jews would be, would be easy prey for their Bible. You see? You couldn't understand why. Because they take a look at the Torah, and they see all these miracles, they say these people are impressed by miracles. So they worked out their own kind of and they couldn't understand why the Jews don't understand, because the only thing that we believe is things that are based on one of two methods. Either it's based on oaths, of course, for a Navi, in order to become a Navi, the first prerequisite is that he has to be a Chochmei Chachmei Yisrael. That's the first, without that is nothing. It's an impossibility. So, but even if he proves that he's a Chochmei Chachmei Yisrael, then he has to, then in order to become a Navi, he has to make predictions. He has to make a prediction which involves a lot of detail, and everyone must be accurate, and he must do this a number of times. Then we say that if he tells us to do something that follows the formula of what you're supposed to follow, if another tells you, then we follow him. That's it. That's a system. That's a halachic system. But insofar as knowing the Navi, that's a different area. A person, Chachmei Yisrael, can know the Navi because they know the person. That's a different kind of yediyah. That's the Chachmei HaMasorah. The Chachmei HaMasorah were in charge of determining what exactly should be Kisvei Kodesh. That's part of the Masorah. That's the halacha thing. But even if Chachmei Yisrael would say that we know this Navi is a Navi Emes, but still halacha is yes, he must, in order to follow him, he must follow the prescription, because that's a separate halacha, that you can't follow a person just because you know he's a Navi. There's a certain formula that you require. Let's say, for instance, in Bezdin, if you'll have a Bezdin, Sanhedrin, and then you're going to have a Chachmei Yisrael going to say something. You know he's telling the truth, and Tu'ei D'Mamakshish. So are you going to pass him the din according to the Chacham, or according to the Tu'ei D'Mamakshish? Same thing is true with regard to the Navi. The Navi has to fulfill a certain formula. The reason, I mean, I can give you a reason why it has to fulfill the formula, it's very simple, because it has to be for Klal Yisrael. It can't just be for the Chachma Yisrael. You can't follow him unless he's a Navi for all of Klal Yisrael. That's what I said by Shmuel. It says that all of Klal Yisrael knew, all Yisrael knew that he was a Navi. So the Navi you can't follow just because Chachma Yisrael recognized it's not enough. But it doesn't deny the recognition of the person as being a Navi through Chochma of the Chachmei Yisrael. And once the Chachmei Yisrael determines a Navi, and it becomes part of Kisvei Kodesh, then it's Kedusha. And then it has a look of Kisvei Kodesh. Even though there is no Maamar HaSinai. But that's Maamar HaSinai, the whole Maamar HaSinai is Asher Bochab Nevi'im Tovim. That's Maamar HaSinai. Yes.